Hey, Pastor Sean.
Hey. Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, these are the nets that the church purchased for the team that's going to Burkina Faso in just about 10 days. We're going to be able to sleep in these things and be protected from the mosquitoes and lizards and lions and rhinos. Man, well, that's what I've told them anyway.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, would you mind helping me get this off the stage?
You know, hasn't it been an amazing week? I mean, just growth groups and learning about spiritual gifts and all the things that, you know, God has just gifted his church with.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah. Yeah. Would you mind helping me get this off the platform?
How did your group go on Friday night?
Oh, it was great, man.
My gift is apostleship and pioneering, kind of going into those places that nobody's ever gone before and just doing something great for God and just taking something from nothing and just seeing God all over it. I mean, it's got to be the greatest gift ever, man.
Wow, that's great. Could you mind just helping me get this off the stage?
You know, I just don't get our church. I mean, people just don't get it. They don't just leave everything and leave their homes and go to places that God tells them to go and just share Jesus. I mean, there's nothing more special in all the world than to have that gift.
Yeah, well, we've been learning over the last couple of weeks that God gives everybody different gifts, and no one is really more important than the other. They all work together.
Come on, you've got to admit, apostleship and pioneering, that was Jesus' gift. And it's like, I'm just like him. I have that gift called to be just like him.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, that's got to be the most important. I know we say that, but come on, you have to recognize.
Yeah, you're a lot like Jesus. Could you just help me move this down off the stage, just not in the way?
Have you not been listening to a word that I've said? I have the gift of apostleship and pioneering. I don't serve and do helps kind of work like that.
Okay. Well, thanks, brother.
Hopefully that was a parody. That you saw no truth in that whatsoever. Actually, apostleship and pioneering is the lowest on that chart that we've done. So hopefully you have been able to, this past week, do your spiritual inventory, have a sense of what those gifts are that God has given to you on the day of your new birth. And you have also looked at the characteristics. Pastor Kevin had mentioned earlier that if you're new with us, you can grab one of those spiritual inventories as you leave today's spiritual gift inventories. Look at the characteristics and the cautions. Are there cautions to spiritual gifts? Yes, I think we've just seen some of them demonstrated. And so we want you to understand how God has made you, so we as a church can move forward in health. We need to be clear. And you'll notice on the back of your program, the title of this morning's message. We need to be clear on the principles and also the problems that can be associated with spiritual gifts. We want to be a church that serves God and serves one another in a helpful way. This past January, we did a ministry snapshot, if you will, and we discovered there are 120 people in our church serving in about 13 or 14 ministries. 55 of those 120 serve in two ministries. About 20 people serve in three or more ministries. Those 120 represent about 65% of those who would call Open Arms Church their home. And so as we do this study, and as we continue the next 7 weeks, those folks who are serving and those who are serving in multiple ministries, maybe they are going to find, hey, I've got one or two particular areas that God has called me to, and I'm going to give it all that he's given me to edify and build up the others. And there may be others who will say, I never understood. I never realized these things. Where's my place to serve God? Where is my place to encourage and build up others? We trust and believe that you're going to be able to discover that. So as we move forward together, we're going to grow up to look just like Jesus. Not like that guy, but really to look like Jesus. And you know, some have asked, I wonder which gift Jesus had. You know, Jesus embodied all the gifts and he lived them perfectly. Oh, was he the apostle, if you will? Oh, sure. Sent by the Father, coming in his own volition with a message and a plan, and he followed it perfectly. Was he a prophet? Oh, he could speak to those religious leaders with strength and confidence and call them whitewashed tombs and brood of vipers. But at the same time, could cry at the tomb of Lazarus because he saw the grief and the sorrow of his friends and the loss of this one who he would even raise from the dead. Oh, in mercy, how he could say to that woman who was caught in adultery, where are those who judge you? They're no longer here, and neither do I. So go and sin no more. Jesus embodied all the gifts. He could teach and spellbound people, thousands of people, for a whole afternoon where they forgot to eat lunch. They just were hanging on every word that Jesus said. And so we ended up feeding them from a few loaves and fishes. Jesus had all the gifts. And so you and I, as we discover, and many of us have been already operating in our gift, we identify with Jesus. That's a good thing. Because we've seen him as we study the scriptures, in particular the gospels. We see that gift coming alive, and there's something in our hearts and says, yes, I want to learn from you how to live that, how to apply that in the correct manner. But he embodied all the gifts. So as we look at our scriptures this morning, many of them are ones we studied last week. But now that you've done your inventory, now that your antenna is up and you have a sense of discovery, how God has gifted you spiritually to edify and serve the rest, let's look and clear up some principles and make sure we stay clear of the problems. In our groups, and it's been an exciting time, even as I've talked with, if not all of the facilitators, most of the facilitators this week, they've talked about the buzz, how exciting it is as people have discovered these things. And as we do, there have been questions raised. There's been things not understood. And we want to clarify those things this morning. And so as we read the scripture, we're going to come back and look at four principles and then four problems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed, or one translation says ignorant. Well, guess what? They were ignorant. They were uninformed. As a matter of fact, this church, which the Apostle Paul had planted himself, found themselves so being carried away in their immaturity and their fleshly, carnal Christian lifestyles, they were abusing the gifts. So the church wasn't being edified. The church was discouraged. They were in discord. There was great divisiveness in the church because they became proudful of the gifts, focusing on certain gifts and saying, these are the most spiritual. These are the best. Even to the point of counterfeiting gifts so that they might look spiritual. And so in these chapters of 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, Paul does some corrective teaching. He says, you've been uninformed. You've been ignorant on these things. He says, not anymore. And so maybe even here this morning, we've enjoyed the study the last 3 weeks because these were things we didn't understand before. And we're growing to understand them. And that's a good thing. We see in verse 7, to each. Are you a Christian here this morning? Have you trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior? Come to that place to understand what took place on the cross and surrendered to him personally. Then guess what? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So you've been given something by the Spirit, a spiritual gift for the common good. for everybody else. Verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So you did your inventory, right? And at the end you went, oh man, I don't have, and you fill in the blank. I wanted this one. Step back. God knows exactly what He's doing. And He's given you a gift because He knows as you walk with Him, how you use that gift, that is going to touch the lives of other people and He will be glorified. Because of your uniqueness in who you are and everything about you, God says, others will be drawn to Me. If you will exhale and with gratefulness begin to serve in your giftedness and see what will happen with those around you, they'll begin to praise Jesus more, look like Him more, because you're using your gift for the common good, because you've embraced the fact that I've apportioned to you this gift as I have willed. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members are the parts of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. Do you get that? Look around. How many parts are we? Many. Different. Unique. And yet, we're saying, John, if you look at the gifts, there is, what, 13, 16, 20, 21, maybe even more. So are there hundreds of other gifts? Probably not hundreds. But many in this room can have the same gift, and yet it's worked out in a different way by the same Spirit. All of us interconnected, apart. Now, if you were to take away a part, that body becomes unhealthy or immobile and is not able to accomplish what God would want it to accomplish. And so we see in verse 18 of the same chapter, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. And He didn't make a mistake. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Paul would write to those believers in Rome, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, he's saying, God's given me a grace gift. I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Remember this guy, the anti-John, you know, the other John? Not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many parts or many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And in Ephesians 4, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Why? And here in between verse 7 and 12, the scripture tells us that one of the things that Jesus accomplished when he rose from the grave and he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, he had told his disciples in John 14, he said, fellas, the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Spirit, the Advocate, he's coming. He's with you now, because he was with them now. Talks about the unity of the Trinity. But he will be in you. And right before he ascended, he told his disciples, and when the Spirit comes, you will receive power to be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, but to the remotest parts of the world. The power comes, the special divine calling and giftedness comes because Jesus rose from the grave, went to the Father and said, now I'm calling my church. The word church comes from the word ecclesia. It's not a denomination. It's not a building. It literally means the called out ones. Have you been called out of spiritual blindness? A spiritual darkness? Into the marvelous light that we just sang about? Into a relationship with the one true God? Then you are part of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. And Jesus is the head of His church. He is the head. He is the strength. He is the power. He is the one we worship and adore. And God the Father said, and that's been part of my plan, because of His obedience, that's the way I want to see it done. So I give Him all the glory and honor on this earth and under the earth and above the earth. Jesus is Lord. And His Father is perfectly happy with that. And so the Father says, oh yes, come and pray to me through Jesus the Son. Because that's the only way I'm going to hear your prayers, if you know Jesus the Son as your Savior. Then the bridge is open. The door is open for full access to me. And so He shares here that He has given first to the church apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, and then teachers and shepherds and pastors to do what? Verse 12. And that's what we've been doing here, starting 3 weeks ago and continuing into the next 6 weeks, to equip the saints. Who are the saints? Are you a believer in Christ? You're a saint. Well, John, I haven't performed a miracle. Scripture says you're a saint. The word saint comes from the word hagias, which means holy one. One who is separate from others. It's the same word, saint. Are you you've been separated by Christ at your salvation. And God says you're a saint. And you say, I don't live like a saint. Neither do I. But you know, I am a saint. And as I walk closely with Jesus, I look more and more like a holy one. I look more and more like one who's separate from my flesh and the things of this world. I'm looking more like Jesus. But that does not negate the fact that you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, are saints, set apart, called out by God, holy ones, vessels for His honor, for His use, every single one, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that's what we've been learning. God says, I've given you a grace gift. What? So you can work ministry. I've given you pastors and shepherds. What's their job? To equip you in the Word of God. Why? So we can work the ministry together, each part doing his part, until we all grow up and become mature unto Jesus. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And that's the key. Each part. Maybe you're a ligament. That's your part. You know how important they are to the body? A sinew. You know how important that is to the body? Rupture one. Break one. And you'll know how important it is to the body. And then Peter would say, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so now let's look at these principles, some of the things that we want to be clear on when it comes to spiritual gifts. Number one, gifts are distinct from natural abilities and talents. They're different. We're going to talk about natural abilities and talents in a few weeks. But a spiritual gift was given to you at your second birth. Your natural abilities, your talents, many of those were given to you at your physical birth. Others, maybe you've learned and you've studied. Notice what the scripture says in Acts 1:8. I'm going to read, you may not have this, but if you have your Bible, Acts 1:8 and Ephesians 1:13 and 14. Jesus said to his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth. And the Apostle Paul would share to those that he reached out to in Ephesus, in him, Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then having believed in him, you were sealed with the mark, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So you received your gift when you received the Spirit. All of what we read in Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, and Peter all talks about it's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit, just as God and Jesus appointed it. When did that occur? Even as apostles. Even Peter, who preached so boldly and with such confidence on the day of Pentecost. Even Peter and James and John, when they, under the challenge of arrest, said, far be it from us to obey you rather than God, but we cannot stop testifying of this Jesus whom we have come to know. And they continued to preach. How come that was so different than that night Jesus was betrayed? Like a whimpering little boy, Peter cursed Jesus and said, I don't know him. When a servant girl said, you're one of his buds. You're one of his followers. How could he deny him one moment and then said, go ahead and take my life. I will not shut my mouth in preaching Jesus. Because he had been gifted, he had been sealed by the Spirit of God. The gift came in him to what? To preach, to teach, to be that prophet. And that was the difference. And so it is with you and I. At your new birth, the Spirit of God marked you. He sealed you. And that's when he gave you the gift. It's our role to exercise that gift. To begin to practice using that gift. And then what will happen? We will mature in that gift. So gifts are distinct from natural abilities and talents. Gifts are different from the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, as Paul preached or wrote to the church in Galatia in verse 22 and 23, what is he talking about? He's talking about their character. Your gift is your contribution to the body. Character is your heart, who you are. Your gift is what you do for the common good. Scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. It's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. All of us, as we walk with Jesus, and the Scripture tells us, again in Ephesians 5:18, that being filled with the Spirit, the fruit of God's Spirit, that's an ongoing. That's multiple times, maybe even a few times in the day, because you become filled with something else, maybe your flesh, maybe an emotion that's outside of the will of God. And so you need to be filled again with the Spirit so you confess the sin, you confess whatever it is that has you tied up, and you acknowledge that, and you say, oh, Spirit of God, fill me again. That's a constant, continually be filled with the Spirit. That's your character. But the spiritual gift, it's one time. You received it at your new birth. You don't keep receiving your gift. Is your gift atrophied? Possibly. I hope not, because of lack of use. Now is the time to start exercising the gift. So they're different. The gifts are different from the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, gifts are distributed by the Spirit. Not by your church. Not by a minister, a pastor, a priest, or hierarchy. No, by the Spirit of the living God. He has gifted you. And he brings together the parts, each member, into a local church, a local assembly, just as he sees fit. He sees fit because he knows the part. And he knows how, as it grows and it gets healthy, and uses that part for the common good, how that church is going to be an awesome representation of Christ in the community. And as Pastor Kevin said earlier, we've got a workshop in a few moments. And many of you, all of you who are part of Open Arms have been through that workshop. You understand what our vision is, what God has called you to do. And you understand that in that workshop, I am the anti-salesman. I tell folks, do not step forward. Do not be a part of this church if you don't agree and get what God's called us to be. Because you will be frustrated. Because we as a church have unity amongst our uniformity. Oh, yes, we're different. Each one is unique. But we have a unity as to who we are in Christ and what He's calling us to do, because we have this book. And He tells us very clearly. And so He gives us focus. And so we say to folks, this is who we are. We pull back the veil. Ask any question. We'll tell you the truth. So when you come and you are a part of this family, you have a place in this family. We've been waiting for you because we want to be healthy. We want to have every part, just as the Spirit wants to put us together for the common good, so we mature under Christ. So they're distributed by the Spirit. Number four, gifts are designated uniquely for each part to do his part to serve others. So you've been given that gift to serve others for the common good, so that others can glean, others can benefit from how the Spirit has gifted you. Well, those are the principles that we want to be clear on the gifts. Now let's stay clear of the problems that can cause discord, division, and decline in the local church. Number one, there's the spirituality problem. This is, you know, you can have a spiritual gift and not be spiritual at all. You know, once we've discovered what our gift is, to walk around and go, oh, this is who I am, this is why God's gifted me, put on the brakes. The spirituality problem also looks this way. You begin to operate and serve in your gift, and if we're not careful, you begin to call out and wonder why isn't everybody doing this? Why isn't everybody seeing life the way I see life? Have the same passion and burden I have for whatever your gift is. No. Put on the brakes. God's gifted you and maybe a few others in the church who have that particular gift. Of course you're going to see life through your spiritual giftedness. The Spirit of God has given that to you. Maturity steps back and says, thank you, Lord. I'm going to use my gift for the common good and let others use their gifts. You know, when the prophet's in the room and the mercy person's in the room, both gifted by God, if they're not mature, that prophet will put down that mercy person and say to them, you know, what are you doing weeping over that person? They just need to pull up their bootstraps, stop sinning, and get right with God. Oh, don't you care about, you know, the struggles they're having in their life? They'll start to cry. You're so mean. But when each steps back and listens to the other, under the unity of the Spirit of God, there's an appreciation as they listen, as they observe how God has gifted the other. And the church grows in unity and in health. Let's stay clear of the spirituality problem. Everybody needs to see it how I see it. Everybody needs to serve like me. Secondly, there's a self-absorbed problem. That says, look at me, instead of look to Jesus. Look to Him. Look what I've got. Look what I'm doing. No. We serve. Maybe even get exhausted in our serving at times. But looking to Him. Third is a specialist problem. Hey, that's not my gift. To lift that heavy thing. I'm the apostle and the pioneer. The specialist problem. You know, in our church, for many, many years, as we've grown and as we've learned and as we've talked and as we've read these scriptures, as we've come to identify our giftedness, people in our church serve in their giftedness, and that's where we want them to serve. But there is a spirit in our church, I'm so grateful for it, that people also do whatever else is needed. And hopefully that's only for a season. Until someone else who's gifted in that area of need steps forward and steps in and says, that's mine. And that person is very gracious to let it go and say, I'm thankful that you're here. I'm grateful that I was able to do that and appreciate what you do. Let's be careful of the specialist problem. Serve in your gift and appreciate all the rest. Number four, the strength problem. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Here's what he says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am nothing but a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the greatest of faith so as to remove mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. And Jesus says in John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see that picture? There's the vine. Thick vine. Into the ground where all the nourishment is. Jesus giving us a picture. And there we are, the branches, holding on to him for dear life. Because if we're severed from the vine, we're like dried up kindling. That's no good except to thrown into a fire. Maybe to keep somebody warm for a few moments. Oh, I have felt that way. Even serving. Because I'm not abiding with Jesus. Because being complacent in my walk with him, my heart's not loving those he's called me to walk this walk with. People in our own church. And so I'm doing my thing in the flesh with a secret bitterness and a hardness of heart and a critical spirit. I become a whiner as I become weaker and weaker in doing ministry. Even the things God's gifted me to do. Most important thing, stay close to Jesus. Walk with him. He's the source of your gift. He's the strength for you to use your gift so that it bears much fruit to the glory of the Father. How does one move an 18,500-pound barn? Well, let me tell you. 1988, in June, Creek rose in a town in Nebraska. The gentleman who owned that barn found his barn flooded up to 3 feet. And his son had an ingenious idea. Once the waters receded, we need to move this barn. He developed some steel piping, some tubes. He fastened them underneath the barn and to the side of the barn. And they called out everyone they knew, their friends, community. 340 people ascended on that property at one day in June of 1988. 340 people grabbed the steel tube that was fastened to or underneath the barn, lifted that barn, and moved it 50 yards up a hill. Do the math. Some of you have already done it. With each person lifting about 50 pounds, they were able to move a 9-ton barn 50 yards without breaking a sweat. You get the principle, right? God has called us to an awesome work, an impossible work. How can we do it? Just as moving that barn, what one couldn't do, two couldn't do, 20, 30, 40 couldn't do, even in God's church. 1, 2, 20. Can't do. But each one of us doing its part, our part, in the strength of the Spirit of God can accomplish all He calls this church to be and to do, which may be different than the neighbor's church and what they're doing, how they're serving in their community with the same Spirit and the same gifts, but with a vision that's biblical, but maybe with a different accent. But here God says, each one doing its part, God says, I can move the mountains. I can shake the world. I can see my gospel touch a world. And then Jesus can come. Father, I just thank you. God, just in your wisdom, how you've put the body together. Thank you for your word that illustrates and makes it alive to us that we can comprehend and understand us, the simplest of us. Lord, I look around and I see the fingers and I see the eyes and the ears and the toes and the legs and I see, God, the intestines and I see the heart. I see the different organs. Thank you, God, for how you've put us together. Thank you for your Spirit that even as we move forward in our giftings, when we miss you, when we quench you, and sometimes it's not even on purpose, all we have to do is wake up in the morning, give you a nod, but don't bow down. Say hello, but don't open the word. Speak for 10 seconds like we're speaking to a friend, but not really. Come to the one who knows our heart, where we can pray, and the most important part of prayer is to listen. Oh God, we can become the ones who are weak and whining, serving without love, and thus finding ourselves divided and divisive and in decline. Because your Spirit will be quenched in such a place. You won't want to draw anybody to such an unhealthy place where Jesus is really not magnified and lived and spoken about in an authentic way, but just people who are passing on knowledge that they heard and experienced one time. Oh Lord, protect us from the temptations that come as we discover and grow in these deep truths of the Word. Oh, in Jesus, as we stay close to you, love will reign in our hearts. For if we don't love one another, every part in this body, how can we love people who don't know you yet, who will scorn and reject and mistreat, or will say we do, but we're phony. It's impossible. But Jesus, you did, and you will help us. And that's our plea, and that's our cry, to be dependent on you, to abide in you. And Lord, as we gather in this place, there may be some here today who haven't even begun that journey, who are not grafted to you, who have not abided, who have not surrendered to you, Jesus. Maybe today is a day that they're struck. Maybe today is a day that they say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to know more about that. Thank you, God. Our church is ready and equipped to open up the good news of the gospel, to share with them your plan, the glorious plan, and how today was part of your plan to have them in this place to hear about you and your workings, and to give their lives to Christ. So Lord, help us to be ready to receive them, to sit with them and show them from an open Bible your great love for them. And as they seek you, being drawn by you to Jesus, what an opportunity they have to begin the journey, to be born anew into your family, to be gifted from on high with a gift that is we've been waiting for, or another local church is waiting for in another town, or another community or another country. So we can be healthy. So we can share that continued news that there's life eternal and there's hope and abundant life here on this earth. And it's provided through Christ. Oh, Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen.